Covering a lot of ground with Jason Offutt, so we'll jump aboard and get your calls when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back, Jason Offutt with us, George Norrie back with us here. And Jason, of course, your next books that are coming out. When's the one in the corn, the fairy in the corn?
It's coming out in January.
Okay, not too far away. It'll come up quick.
Yeah, I can order it for Christmas, a Christmas present. It'll be here soon enough.
But you have a little dark twist to it, don't you?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Dark twists are my favorite. I'm a big sci-fi fan, but I also like a little bit of horror here and there.
Well, does anybody does it have a great ending?
Well, I'd like to think so. But it, who knows? It's got to get in front of the readers first and see what they think.
All right, let's go to the calls. Wild card line, Joe in Monterey, California. Hello, Joseph.
Thank you for taking my call, George. I'm sorry the lines cut you off the last time.
That's okay.
About time travel. Time travel is also space travel as well. This is a type of teleportation. So you could also go back or forward in time, but other places as well. There was a community in Ons Hat that's in the Pines Barrens in New Jersey that had they were experimenting and investigating time travel. That group disappeared, George. They couldn't find them.
Where'd they go?
How hard they looked. Do you know anything about that?
I don't. How about you, Jason?
Yes, Ong's had, there was, a group of scientists, allegedly, went to a place in the Pine Barrens in New Jersey and were conducting experiments. And what they were alleged to have done was open up a gateway to a parallel dimension where people didn't exist. And they went to a parallel Earth. Now, whether or not that was a true story or a piece of entertainment, I'm not sure, but it's a great story.
Well, you know what? It's conceivable, isn't it?
You know what? It is. That's what makes it. If it is a story, it's a great story because it is conceivable.
What do you think of the multiverse theory, Jason?
Well, I've always really liked the multiverse theory. And when quantum mechanics, people started looking more into that and have said, you know what, multiple universes exist. You know, it gave some strength to it. That it would explain a whole lot of the paranormal if there were multiple universes stacked on top of each other that could intersect. That would give rise or that would give credence to I can't believe I'm having a blank here. John Keel,
sure.
Window areas, where a lot of paranormal things seem to happen. The window areas, if there's a multiverse and they can touch, these window areas are where things come through. And can go back. It would explain Mothman. It would explain the Men in Black. It would explain Black-Eyed Kids, Bigfoot, all sorts of things.
Well, this is a compliment, but you have a little John Keel style to you.
Well, I appreciate that. That's a heck of a compliment. he was a maverick and great thinker. Thank you.
Let's go to Mayat in New York. Welcome to the show. Hi, Mayat.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. Very fascinating show of time travel. And, George, a much-belated happy Earth Day to you.
Oh, thank you.
But my question is, I'm glad that you didn't dismiss someone demissing John Keita, and I like the name spelled, so those of us who want to look him up, I can't really remember his predictions, which you said that he was pretty accurate with. The only one that I'm thinking of just now was his prediction and trying to avoid a civil war. And when you consider the present political climate, all the violence, all the rhetoric, all the hate. I'd like your thoughts on all of that.
All right, and it's Titor, T-I-T-O-R. John
Titor. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah, he did talk about the possibilities of civil wars and things. He was kind of uncanny, Jason.
Right. The Civil War is one of the things that people bring up to where, oh, John Titor, he did, that wasn't real because he didn't get the Civil War right. Well, I mean, he got Wi-Fi hubs right, absolutely, in a time to where we were, all hardwired to the Internet. He predicted what it was going to end up being. Bombing at the Olympics in Atlanta, he picked that. One of the things with him, his predictions going wrong, just the fact that he came, if it's a true story, that he came from the future to the past, he changed the future. Mm-hmm. At least his future, he changed. So people saying some of his predictions were wrong, so that proves he's a fake. No, just the fact that he was here and talked about them doesn't mean he was a fake at all. It means that he might have changed everything in his timeline.
Let's go to Chucky in Seattle, Washington. Hey, Chucky, go ahead.
Hey, Mr. George Norrie, how are you?
Good, Chucky. Good. Thanks.
Hey, Mr. Offert. I was always thinking, it's funny how people always want to, either go back in the past or go into the future to change, rather, just changing their present and changing themselves first. You know, it's like perfect example, SpaceX, they rather go to the planet and see how it turned, a dry rock and try to figure out the past, knowing that even if people inhabited that place, they turned it into a dry rock, And the future is going to be the same if we don't fix our rock first. I always think it's just so funny how people never want to change themselves first. They always want to change their past or future. And my question was that meditation, we had a past guest saying that if you meditate, and master some aspects, you can go to your previous reincarnation, and see how the past was, basically. So that could be a form of, time travel.
That could be, too. Jace?
Well, you made an excellent point about, people talking about, let's go to the past and change this. If there was a time machine that you could just step into and go to the past and fix a problem before it became a problem, well, I mean, that would be easy. Well, we can't do that. Fixing the problem now is hard. I mean, that's why they do this. That's why people will talk about that, because, jumping back and making a small change to affect a big, big outcome in our time right now, I mean, that would be easy. But, for example, global warming, to fix that now, that is really tough. So it's, I guess, nice to fantasize about being able to take a step back.
Jason, are you particularly spiritual?
Yes.
And have you found that the more you get involved in the paranormal, the more spiritual you become?
That is something I discovered at an early age, because I told you early on about when I was young, I saw a full-bodied apparition in my house. And that made me realize at that point that I still have is that there's something else beyond what we know. And if I can tell you a little short story to answer.
Yeah, please. Go ahead.
To answer that, my mother died about 9 years ago from lung cancer.
I'm sorry to hear
and
that.
While she was in hospice, the day she died, she beckoned me over, and I leaned in really close because she really couldn't talk very loudly. And she said, "Jason, I'm going to be okay. don't worry about me. When I pass, I'll be okay. And I said, Mom, I know you're going to be okay. Just don't come back and tell me because you'll scare the hell out of me. And she promised. And she passed on later that day. And about 2 months later, I was in my home office in downstairs, and my wife, Kim, shouted. I didn't know she was down there, too. So I rushed because I thought she might, you know, be in trouble. But she was standing over a box that she'd been unpacking. And when I asked her what was wrong, she said, your mother just said my name in my ear.
Wow.
So Mom came back to tell me, but she kept her promise. She scared the hell out of my wife and not me.
Huh.
But that was still communication.
What do you think the other side is?
I grew up a Methodist, so I'm hoping what they told me, I hope that's true. What it could be is impossible to tell.
Are you a believer, though, in life after death?
Absolutely. So death doesn't scare me as much as I think it would if I hadn't had those two experiences.
The older one gets and the more one believes in that, it does make death a little different, doesn't it?
Right. And I read a poll recently in the last couple of months that the older people get, the more they believe in life after death. That makes sense to me.
It does. Let's go to Beth Ann in Bristol, Wisconsin. Welcome to the program. Hi, Beth Ann.
Good morning, guys.
Hi there.
I want to try to be succinct.
All right, give it a try.
Okay. Yeah, you know me. You guys crept up into me before I crept up into you, because I was already having an experience tonight which mimics your rhetoric.
What kind of experience were you having?
Well, I was outside, and I was thinking about my old eighth-grade boyfriend.
You were? Why?
Well, because it was raining, and, I mean, I just changed my cooking. Listen, here's what I'm trying to tell you. I was thinking about a crossroads. I think Josh was talking about crossroads.
Jason.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm sorry. My eighth grade boyfriend was Mark Venerini, and he played a character called Suicide in a movie. But he was the most pious boy in my school days. But he went to Hollywood. He tried to do some stuff. We were born on the same day, and he passed away. And tonight, I swear, he changed my cooking. So, obviously, I was running in the rain. You know, it's raining in Bristol, George.
It rains everywhere.
Well, it's raining nice here. But what I'm saying is that at the same time I hung my head thinking about what if I would have went with him, George was saying, what if they would have went with them? So what I'm saying is I really felt him here.
Well, that is the road not taken. Simple as that. And you don't have to get into your personal situation, but I bet a lot of people, Jason, think about the road not taken, like she is right now.
I think it's inescapable because we all have doubts about our life. Did we do the right thing? Did I say the right thing to this person? Did I say the wrong thing to that person? It's something that we have to wrestle with sometimes, but most of the time let go because we didn't take that road. So, you know, we really can't fret about it.
Let's go to Anthony in Baltimore, Maryland. Welcome to the program. Hi, Anthony.
Hi, George. How are you guys doing?
Good. Good to have you with us.
Great. Good. So, I had a couple comments, questions. Basically, the whole Andrew Bellagi thing, you guys remember that, and how he was saying he was part of the Project Pegasus. And there's a chance that maybe for a very long time, even thousands of years, different civilizations have been time traveling to check out other civilizations to try to speed up the process of just the whole universe.
We're able to pick that up, Jace. He's broken up a little bit.
Yeah, I wasn't able. I think I heard Basiago's Project Pegasus?
Going to Mars.
Right. And is that the one that apparently a young Barack Obama went
yes,
as well?
Yes, exactly. That is the case.
Yeah, I just heard those things. I didn't hear. I couldn't make out the question.
What do you think of Basiago's story?
It's a good story. I'm not sure. I really, it's like the Project Serpo story. It's a great story.
It is a great story.
I just can't wrap my head around it being true.
Project Serpo. Did they have that exchange program?
I would love for them to have had that exchange program.
I mean, do you wrestle with yourself as a journalist between fact and fiction?
Yes. Yeah, I have for years. But the things that I write of a paranormal nature, the nonfiction that I've written, I approach things as a journalist and as a storyteller. So I present the information not as this is 100% true, but this is this person's story. I occasionally offer a class at the university called Paranormal Journalism, where teach my reporting students how to write an objective story of a paranormal event, and they're shocked. I tell them how many stories about paranormal occurrences they have to write, and they're shocked that they can find that many. And they're all over the place. They just have to talk to people. Almost everyone's got a paranormal story. But yes, that's what I do. I write as objectively as possible.
Let's go to Greg in New Jersey. Squeeze you in here before the break, Gregory. Go ahead.
Thanks, guys. Pleasure. George, in regards to the time travel thing, I guess you sometimes may wish with your birthdays to push a button and possibly go back a few.
You never know.
There you go. But Jason, your friend Mike Markham, I actually knew Mike about 20 years ago. In Cincinnati, I participated between jobs in a medical research study. Let's say I was a paid lab rat.
Oh.
So I check in the facility, and I'm in a bed, and I hear a voice in the room, and I kept saying, I know that voice. I've heard that recently. And then it occurred to me, it was on the Art Bell.
I love it.
So I ended up, he was my bunkmate, and we became friends. We were in that facility better part of a month. Now, he showed me some newspaper articles, in regards to what had happened. But the Jacob's Ladder thing, he told a friend of mine and I that, the screw kind of disappeared, and he thought for sure he had timed it going into the future.
Did you believe him, Greg?
We don't know. We thought maybe, he saw a spark and he got blinded, or maybe it did. Maybe it did. But, George, I can't answer for the guinea pig or the grapefruit. However, I do have a little bit of an update for what might have happened to him, regardless of him landing in the field and all. He landed on the Art Bell Midnight in the Desert show. I just looked it up before I called. September 4th, I believe, 2015.
So he's still around. He was still around, and that's only 6 years ago. So thanks for that tidbit. We're going to come back and wrap things up with final calls next on Coast to Coast AM with Jason Offit. And welcome back to Coast to Coast, back with our final segment with Jason Offit. Then, of course, he's got a number of books that he's been working on coming out. And where do people get your books that are currently on the market now, Jason?
Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and at my website.
Perfect. And the website is your name that we have linked up at coasttocoastam.com.
Yes, jasonoffit.com.
What drives you? What keeps pushing you in this field?
It's one of those, in writing particularly, it's one of those things that I can't stop. It's a mental release. I like to use a quote from Stephen King when he was asked about, what would you be doing if you weren't writing? And he said, I'd probably be a serial killer. I'm not going to go that far, but it's something I'm compelled to do when it comes to the paranormal. Why I continue in that, there are so many unanswered questions. And I did see the apparition. I did see shadow people in my room when I was about 9 years old. I am fully convinced that if there is a cryptid out there that's going to be found, it's going to be Bigfoot. So it's those things that keep me studying and researching paranormal topics.
What do you think of Bigfoot?
I could go on.
That's another show.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not really on the more paranormal Bigfoot, the interdimensional Bigfoot that a lot of people are going to now. I still think it's a flesh and blood creature. what I'm leaning toward at this moment is a lot of Native American and First Nations people consider Bigfoot as another human. They're just another tribe of human out there, and there have been a lot of DNA tests done of hair samples, blood samples, stool samples from Canada and the United States, and one of an offspring of Zena and Alma from Russia, and they've all shown that the DNA is human, but with some anomalies.
Yeah.
So, I'm starting to think, and at least in my head, I'm forming that Bigfoot is probably a cousin of ours that we just don't invite to family reunions.
Maybe the missing link?
Could possibly be. It could be some remnant human that has been speculated on. That makes a lot of sense to me.
Because they do seem to have, Jason, a air of intelligence about them, don't they?
Right, absolutely. Well, there's one Bigfoot report that really kind of blew me away early on when I was really looking into Bigfoot from Creve Coeur, Missouri, by St. Louis.
Yeah, know it well.
Yeah, I mean that's a highly populated area.
It's very urban.
Exactly, but there was a Bigfoot report and. There have been reports all over the country of, Bigfoot dumpster diving. It has to be intelligent. Why don't we have a body? Well, one of the reasons is probably it knows how to avoid us. There's speculation that it travels the riverways. I mean, how often do people travel by major rivers? They, we really don't. So it's probably really intelligent and knows how to hide from us.
Let's go to the phones. Karen in Indiana to get us going here. Hi, Karen. Go ahead.
Good evening, George. Hey, you've been having some excellent programs. Not that you don't always, but you've just been having some exceptionally good programs lately, health and other topics.
I've got the greatest staff in the world, Karen, putting these things together for me.
And there's not any good things about being an insomniac except Coast to Coast Radio.
I love it. Thank you.
I have a question, and then I have some information that I'd like to just throw out there and
sure.
See what you guys think about it.
Okay.
So would you consider, and I'll throw this out there and then I want to kind of follow up, but would you guys consider... I've just went brain dead, and this is my Lyme's brain. Oh, I hate it.
Nate, you need to take Matter by Elysium.
I think I need to do something. Yes, I'm having trouble, and I'm coming up not coming up with a blank. And I just told Tommy on the phone, but I've been sitting here on hold, trying to keep my thoughts fresh. And I'll go to the information first, and maybe the question will come.
Okay.
Remote viewing. That's it. Do you think remote viewing and things like Nostradamus did, that time travel can happen without your physical body being there? And so let me go on with this follow-up here. Have you heard of the author? He was an American lawyer in the late 1800s named Ingersoll Lockwood. And he, on the side, he was into esoteric things, but on the side, him and his wife used to like to write children's books and novels. And he wrote a series of three children's books, and I believe the title was something I actually got ordered the book. You can buy it new now, all four books in one volume. he had two pictures in this book of him in his 30s, and for some reason another one at 60 years old, and he didn't, other than gray hair, look like he aged. The books that he wrote, the children's books, were called The Amazing Underground Adventures of Little Baron Trump.
Huh.
And in that book, the mentor of Little Baron Trump, his name is Don. Well, Donald Trump has a son named Baron Trump. The last name of his mentor is different, but then he went on to, and the things he, Little Baron Trump was supposed to be an old soul, looked like a child, and his mission in this novel was to abolish all the evil in the earth. Isn't that interesting?
That is fascinating.
What Trump's trying to do right now. And then he wrote another book called The Last President or 1900. And in that book, characters are not the same, but there is a Senator Pence from Colorado in that book.
Interesting.
So it's thought that maybe he tapped into some time travel and maybe in his esoteric. Then again, Donald Trump's uncle, John Trump, was the man who was called in, who was the only guy intelligent enough when Nikola Tesla's apartment was raided for all his blueprints, and the government didn't even know what all they had. They needed somebody intelligent enough to interpret those blueprints.
They just took it. Well, let's get your take, Jason, on some of the things Karen has talked about here in terms of, do you have the ability? I think you can remote view, obviously, the future.
There are a lot of cases just like that. There was a writer, I think, in the 50s who wrote about a man named Elon being the first man on Mars. There was also a comic book from the 50s or 60s, I don't remember, called The Face on Mars. And it was about people going to Mars and finding this huge human face staring out into space. There was a case 10 years before the Titanic was launched and subsequently sank, a guy wrote a novel about a ship from the Titan leaving from the same dock that the Titanic left from, and it hit an iceberg and sank. And it was within a few hundred feet of being exactly the dimensions of the Titanic. It had a problem of not having enough lifeboats, and about the same number of people lived and the same number of people died. I mean, there are so many cases like this that yes, I actually addressed this in my book that we were talking about. So you had to build a time machine that maybe, just maybe, certain people can see into different dimensions or different times and remember these things. They can see these things happen, and you know, creative people write about them. That wouldn't surprise me at all.
Let's go to Royce in Arleta, California. First-time caller for Royce. Hi, Royce.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay.
Hope your night's well. I just wanted to offer two theories. One, I remember reading or seeing a video about time travel in the sense that, like, when a ball is bouncing but moving forward, it moves slower than a ball that's bouncing still. And perhaps maybe if you're far out in space, like let's say 2 light years away, like a year out there would be 1,000 years over here. So maybe that's like one way to travel into the future. Also, another thing, I've never heard anybody mention about like aliens maybe possibly being ancient humans. You know, with natural disasters happening and civilizations being destroyed by those.
Some people have said, Royce, that aliens may be time travelers from our past who have come forward. And, Jason, you've heard that too, haven't you?
Yes, I sure have. And, well, there was that reminds me of a story about a woman calling the Dallas police in mid-November 1963, saying that there was an assassination attempt on going to be an assassination attempt on the president, and it was of course ignored. You know, maybe she was from the future.
Yeah, well, you never know. Remember that picture? It was a black and white picture of the 1800s, and you could see somebody on a cell phone in the background.
Right. Was it the one from the it was a video from, or it was a movie from in front of the release of a Charlie Chaplin movie, I believe, and there was a woman walking by, and it looked like she was talking on a cell phone.
I mean, clearly that person had something up against their face, and they're holding
it. Right. The only problem I'd have with that is you know, there are no cell phone towers or satellites.
But maybe it was a time traveler who just got plopped down there.
Or it could be a Star Trek-type communicator.
Cheryl in Missouri, take it away. Hi, Cheryl.
Hello, George. How you doing?
Okay. How are you?
I'm doing all right. And hey, Jason.
Cheryl, we're in the same time zone.
Yes, you are. You may be in the same area, too. Whereabouts in Missouri are you, Cheryl?
Awesome. Washburn.
All right. Great.
I'm up in Maryville, up in the northwest corner.
Cool beans. Okay, we're Missourians. We got it. So cool. Hey, this Hadron Collider, I remember whenever they initiated that, I was sitting around, used to Yahoo chat, and I was waiting to see, because they didn't know if it was going to, like, mess the atmosphere up or something. So that's pretty cool. So I wonder how that, revised anything.
Well, the Hadron Collider, before it was switched on, and that's part of what I based my book on. So you had to build a time machine, was a Hadron Collider type collider built underneath Peculiar, Missouri, and I picked Peculiar because of the name. That's an actual city.
You're right about that.
Yeah, and there were so many issues and predictions before it was turned on, that it would create a black hole and destroy the world. That story got so popular that a person, and you can find stories on this online, a person broke in to the compound and said he was a time traveler, sent to make sure the machine was never turned on because it was going to destroy the world. It hasn't, fortunately, but whenever a new piece of powerful technology is used, people freak out. The hydrogen bomb, there was speculation that it might evaporate our atmosphere.
Or wormholes were going to be created by the Large Hadron Collider.
Right, right. That was another concern.
Maybe they're right, though, Josh.
Jason. Having something like this, turned on and weird things happening, that's what my book's about.
Of all the strange things you've written about, based on real things you've investigated, what would you say that is?
Man, I've written about a lot of strange things, but I think one of the strangest and one of my favorite is a mind-reading dog.
A mind-reading dog? How did you come across? Is this a true story?
This is a true story from Marshall, Missouri, which is actually my wife's hometown. Back in the 1930s, a man named Sam Van Arsdale received a gift of an English Llewellyn setter, and it was given to him by a friend because it was the run of the litter. It was given to him as a joke. Van Arsdale was a big bird hunter, but the run of the litter turned out to be the best dog. It knew exactly where all the birds were. And eventually Van Arsdale discovered that if he talked to the dog and asked it questions, it would give him answers.
I love it.
Yeah. And it was able to predict winners of presidential elections. It was able to tell pregnant women if they were going to have a boy or a girl. He'd say, he owned the Ruff Hotel in Marshall, Missouri, and he'd say to the dog, go pick out the person here from Kansas City, and the dog would go over to the person.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
How do you explain that?
You don't really, not with anything anything normal other than the dog could read minds.
That's absolutely true. Jason, thank you so much for being on the program. Well, let's keep in touch. Let us know when the new books are out. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasor, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, Tim Banal, George Knapp, and Ian Puttett. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.